Some of the economic problems in Zimbabwe stem from its chaotic attempt at land reform. The Mugabe government forced many white farmers off the land and gave it to black farmers. The result was a collapse in Zimbabwe's agriculture, but tricky questions about who owns the land, whites or blacks, are not unique to Zimbabwe. South Africa is also struggling with that. The country's ruling party promised land reform after the end of apartheid, but it's had a hard time delivering on that promise, as the world's Laura Lynch reports from South Africa.
As the sun goes down outside a small, simple church, voices rise up inside. The choir has gathered for its weekly practice. Religion runs deep in this village 2 hours northwest of Johannesburg. The elders, like Peter Segote, remember when they lived over the hill on the other side of the railroad tracks at a mission run by German ministers. Eventually, Segote leads me there to see the land they consider their own, the land where he grew up, the land he and the other black villagers are fighting to get back.
You know, from here, from the district here, until there, there was only houses here. You see. There was a school here, it was broken down. There was houses here, they were all demolished.
Segote walks through the ruined remains of the place where he spent much of his childhood. In the 1960s, the government shut the mission down and forced the black residents to leave. They were relocated here to a spot beside a busy highway. Eventually, white farmers moved on to the acres where they once lived. The same bitter drama was repeated across the country. Eventually, the white minority owned 87% of the land. When apartheid ended 15 years ago, South Africa vowed to put 30% of that back into black hands and to do it legally, ensuring both economic and political stability. But only 5% has been redistributed so far. Frustrating and slow, the process is also breeding friction and fear. Part of the land the black villagers claim here is now a huge carpet of green. Farmer Herke Davel's workers rev up an enormous lawn cutter. Davel's taken to growing grass on his acreage and selling the sod as lush instant lawns. Not the best use of rich farmland, but Davel says the blacks stole all the food crops he tried to grow.
Because if I start farming with cabbage or something that it's easy to take now, they just come during the night and they take it. You won't sleep. The spinach is a little bit difficult to take. It's not that easy. But, the instant lawn now, that's the only thing that we can farm with at this stage.
Davel has owned the farm for 25 years, but he says the trouble started 2 years ago when he and the other white farmers here decided to fight the claim on their farmland. He says first he lost crops, now it's farm equipment, and even his fencing.
It seems to me they start intimidating us like this. I don't know what is going on. And I'm close to them, yeah. You can see there, it's only the railway line here from this land that we've got here, this field. And then there's a road and a railway line, and that's where they are staying.
They are the villagers claiming the land, and they are living within plain sight. And the distrust and tension continue to grow the longer the claim drags on. Michael Aliber is an American who studies land reform at the University of the Western Cape in South Africa. He sees a lot of flaws in the system.
It's unclear what we're accomplishing. I mean, we are accomplishing something by way of redressing past wrongs. But to put it a bit crassly, can we afford it in the manner in which we're presently doing it?
Aliber says South Africa isn't delivering arable land to poorer black South Africans who actually want to farm.
Communities getting their land back through the land restitution part of land reform are elated to get the land back. But what we also observe is that there are very few amongst them typically who are interested in either relocating to the land and even fewer who are interested in making use of the land agriculturally. That's not to say there are none, but they are usually quite few.
As the trucks roar past his house, the village elder Segote insists his people want to move back, but not necessarily to farm. They need more room to house growing families, he says.
Do you feel sorry at all, or do you feel any sympathy for the white farmers who are there now who say it's their land?
Sorry.
Segote and a clutch of other community leaders smile and laugh. If Herke Davel is worried, Segote doesn't have much sympathy.
No. I'm sure that chap is scared because he doesn't belong there. It's not his land. That's why he's so worried. He doesn't sleep. You know, when we grew up, That place was open. It was open land. We used to walk there freely.
Back on his farm, Herke Davel is standing his ground. So this land is your land?
Definitely, yes. The white people didn't steal it from anybody or took it.
The battle for land here is just a snapshot of a policy in disarray. The government is promising it will reach its target of 30% by 2014. But the land it's transferred so far has ended up going to relatively few people. Michael Alaber says something must change.
Has the government failed? Not yet. But if it doesn't navigate towards a better path in the near future, then I think, you know, in 5-10 years we'd have to say that it has failed. If it continues just doling out large amounts of land to very small numbers of people, even if it achieves 30%, I think it's going to be regarded as an elitist swindle and a failure.
In the churchyard, a parishioner unties a small white bell. It was saved and brought here from the old mission, a reminder of all that was lost. There's been talk of expropriating white farms to speed things up, but that scares some in the country who see shades of the violent takeovers that have scarred Zimbabwe. Land is a powerful symbol and stirs powerful emotions. The battle for it in South Africa is, at its heart, a battle over the nation's past and its future. For The World, I'm Laura Lynch in the village of Polonia, South Africa.